Lekuta Sichas Chelik Yud Ches Parsha Nosa Sicha Beis, which is also a Siyam on the Sechta Saita. This is a summary of the Sicha. We find that Masechta Saita, that the Parsha in our Parsha of Nazir comes right before the Masechta of the Parsha of Saita. So the Gemara says that why are they brought together? Why are they one after the other? Because if a person sees a woman that ends up being, he sees the kilkul, the shame that is brought upon a woman as a result of her drinking wine, therefore, in other words, behaving in such a way, therefore he should stay away from wine. That's a good time to take a vow not to drink wine. We also find that in the Gemara, Masechta Saita comes right after Masechta Nazir for the same reason, but there is the Rambam holds that in between Masechta Nazir is Masechta Gittin. Why is Masechta Gittin found in between Masechta Nazir and Masechta Saita? Some want to say that there's a link between the Machlekes about Saita and the Machlekes about Gittin. There's a question, there's a Machlekes in regards to Saita, whether to warn your wife about not secluding yourself, is that an obligation on a husband to do, or is that an option? You could, if you want, do it. And they link that machlekes to another machlekes in regards to divorce. That is a machlekes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, where Beis Shammai says that a person should not divorce his wife unless he finds some immoral behavior, actual evidence of immorality. And Beis Hillel says, no, you can divorce your wife for any reason. If you don't get along with her, you can divorce her. So they link the two together. That sin, when a person, Beis Shammai says, when a person finds himself in a situation where he has no direct evidence that his wife is behaving immorally, but there are things leading to his suspicion, but since he has no evidence, he can't divorce her. So therefore, that's the reason that he should be Makana, he should warn his wife, so that it could either lead to one of two ways. Either she's found innocent, or she's found guilty. And then he'll know whether he should divorce her or not. Beis Hillel said there's no need for this whole thing. If you want to divorce her. So there's no reason to compel a husband to do kinui. The problem is, the Rambam paskins that a person should do kinui. So therefore it comes out that he's paskining like Beis Shammai, which is a very strange thing, that the Rambam should paskin like Beis Shammai, which the halacha is usually not like Beis Shammai. Why in this case would he do so? So we have to understand where this is going. So we can understand this by first explaining why the Rambam paskins that it's a chiyuv to give kinui. The Gemara seems to be saying the opposite. In the beginning of Masechta Saita it says, Hamakana li'ishtei, if someone does kinui to his wife. From this the Gemara deduces that it says if he does so, not that he should do so. From this we see that the Tana of our Mishnah holds that it's prohibited for a person to do this. He shouldn't be doing it. If he did it, so then the following law applies. So why is it that the Rambam paskins the opposite of the Mishnah? It seems he's going against the Mishnah, which says that you're not allowed to do kinui. So therefore we can answer perhaps that it would seem that there is a three-way machlekes about the issue of kinui. One opinion is that it's prohibited, like our Mishnah, in the beginning of Masechta Saita. Then there is an opinion that that one should be mekana, and another opinion is it's optional, a three-way machlekes. But the Rambam seems to hold that it's not a three-way machlekes. The two are two separate issues. There are two different types of situations for kinui. There could be a situation in which a woman is behaving immorally and in a way that is not sneistic, and the husband is very frustrated. He sees that it's leading in the wrong direction, so he says, you have to stop this, and he makes kinui and so on. We're dealing with a woman that is already acting in a corrupt way. Another scenario is that there's nothing wrong. Everything is fine. The question of kinui is, should a husband be from time to time laying down laws or guiding his family in a certain behavior, like you would say to a person would say to his daughter, this is appropriate, this is not appropriate, this is what you should do, this is what you shouldn't do. So he puts down general guidance for the family without any suspicion, without any accusation. And that's the type of kinui we're talking about. These are two different types of kinui. So therefore, the machloikis between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel, which is whether it's an obligation for a husband to do so or optional for the husband to do so, is talking about the second type of kinui, the one that should a person generally guide his family. So over there, the Rabbi Akiva says, yes, absolutely, this is something that you must do. Rabbi Shmuel says, you could do it if you want, there's no need to do it, it's an option. But the Mishnah, which says that also lekanesis ishtei, is talking about a woman that is already behaving in a corrupt way. So the question is, the Mishnah says you shouldn't do it. What's the reason that you shouldn't do it? Why shouldn't you do it? It would seem that you should do it in such a situation. So we can explain perhaps the reason that the Rambam says that. Explains the reason that the Mishnah says asulakana is not because it could lead to conflict in the family, as Rashi says, but rather because we're afraid that since the Gemara says, intimates, or actually says, that the waters of a saita only work if the husband is innocent, but if the husband in any way is guilty himself of immorality, so then the waters will not work for his wife either, even if she's guilty. And since there's also another rule, which is that if a husband behaves immorally, then what do you expect? That his wife is not going to behave immorally? Then it's a good likelihood that his wife will behave the same way. He's doing it here, she's doing it there. So if you see that a woman is already behaving that way, there's a good reason to suspect that the husband is doing the same. And therefore, when they go through the kinyan and stira, the waters are not going to work, which will call into question the whole does the meisaita work? The woman says no, she's guilty and it didn't work. So therefore the Mishnah says don't do it, just divorce your wife. That's a better, it's already heading in a more immoral direction, so just divorce her rather than to corrupt the whole process. That's how the Rambam understands the prohibition of the Mishnah to do kinui. Based on this, we can understand why the Rambam holds that Masechta Gittin comes between Masechta Saita and Masechta Nazir. The question needs to be asked, why does the Rambam stick Masechta or maintain that Masechta Gittin should be in between the two? It seems that that Nazir and Saita in the Torah, they're right next to each other. Why aren't they next to each other in the Mishnah too? Why does the Rambam put Gittin in between? The reason is because in the Rambam, when the Rambam sees it as Nazir and Saita and Gittin are linked to each other. In this kind of scenario, since the Mishnah is talking about a woman that is already being suspected of this kind of behavior, then inevitably it's going to lead to Gittin. This fact, the Mishnah says, it's better to just get divorced. So therefore the Rambam says these two are really one link to each other. And therefore, if you see a Nazir, it's going to lead to Gittin Saita. It's like one subject, one big subject. Therefore, he puts Gittin as an introduction to Saita. Rashi, on the other hand, he says that the Mishnah is talking about the ordinary, regular case of Kinui. And the reason that the Tana says that one should not do Kinui is not because there's already corruption. It's because it's going to lead to a conflict. If you start warning your wife about these kinds of things, it's going to lead to a conflict, and then it could lead further that she becomes shamed in public, even though she is completely innocent. So therefore, Rashi says that the Mishnah is talking about the original type of saita, kinui, which means that it's the innocent type of kinui. And he doesn't see it as leading immediately to Gittin. He says it comes directly after. Rashi holds that Nazir, then comes Saita, and that there is no separation between the two of Gittin, because he sees it as a perfectly innocent situation of Kinui. The Rebbe always likes to link the beginning of the Masechta to the end of the Masechta. The end of the Masechta in Masechta Saita is Leisisna Yirascheite Ikano. Do not say that the fear of sin is gone, because I am here. And the Rebbe says, I am here means that everybody should see themselves as the person that is going to be afraid of sin. If you want to know how to finish off Masechta Saita, which means let's get rid of having to deal with the issues of Saita, there has to be Yiras Chet. You have to bring yourself to a situation of the fear of sin, and this will remove the corruption of the Saita, because according to the Rambam, we're talking right from the start about a Saita that is already corrupt. Fear of sin is what takes care of that.